The book of Galatians chapter 1, that's where we'll start this afternoon from. I thought last time I'll be able to finish what we're talking about, how to recognize the voice of God, but of course we're not able to finish it, so I'll try my best to make sure that concludes today so we can go on to something else, especially since this is not something we are doing, it's something I've taught here and there. I think I was thinking about trying to remember when it was that we studied that matter exactly. Because if you listen to different of our messages, listen to different ones, you see hear messages like walking in the will of God, a life of purpose, especially life of purpose. When I was talking about life of purpose, I discussed a lot of these things extensively, but God gave me some new understanding which I was able to include inside what we have been saying for some time now, the last 3 weeks, slightly different from what we said there, but they are all complementary. So I would recommend that you listen to that series again if you are listening to this one now, so that you get everything together. I can't go over everything we said in that particular one. That's in the Life of Purpose series. Now, so for the last few weeks, I've been talking about how to recognize God's voice. And as part of our Faith Basics series, some of the fundamental things about Christianity that we must know is how to know what is the voice of God and what is not the voice of God. I said it's very important because sometimes in our desires to, that's our individual desires to obey God, all right? The desire of our hearts, we end up getting confused once in a while, especially when somebody comes to the word that God said. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, and so that's why it's very important we know the meaning, we understand how to recognize the voice of God. I have to review a bit for a number of reasons, especially because we're ending it today, but I won't spend much time. One of the most important things I said, which I said a few weeks ago, is the fact that there is a difference. Okay, I introduced the concept of what God says to somebody as opposed to what the perfect will of God is. And I said, as a matter of fact, there is a difference between what the perfect will of God is and what somebody claims, or not even claims, what actually God says to somebody. There's a world of difference. What God says to you is that which you can hear. It doesn't mean that's his perfect will. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we don't go around looking for voices to hear. We don't sit down on strange revelations. Now, this is what I'm trying to bring out. Sometimes a man says something. Now, what I want to say, it will help some of us. I don't know. I hope I don't confuse some people. There's a book I got from Yinka some time ago. I don't want to tell the title of the book so that you won't go and look at the book and start laughing at it. And it's supposed to be Visions of Spiritual Things. Is that okay? After I finished reading the book, I just tossed it aside. That's a child. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Say, Pastor Banga, isn't that the person didn't have visions of heaven? Maybe she did. It's a woman. I said, maybe she did. But obviously, God was talking to a child because some of the concepts the person was trying to pass across to us. Do you understand? It's like making me feel silly. If I believed them, I was out walking like a mental person. Do you understand my point? You know, I said that, is it that God didn't show her revelations? God did. He gave her the kind of revelation that somebody in her level of spiritual understanding could absorb. Are you getting my point? She did. Having read that book, I said, this is not the perfect will of God. But it is a revelation of God to her at that moment. So somebody comes to you and says that, okay, God said to me, and then built a ministry around God said to me. Now, let me explain something to you. As far as his life is concerned, that may be okay, but you don't have a responsibility to die with him because of that. Christians have we have that problems, you know, in life today. You know, maybe I come to you now and say that God spoke to me and said I should go and build this denomination, this is that kind of thing, that God said that they should build a church that he will come and meet on the earth. So they keep on telling people that if you leave this denomination, you have missed God. And all I can do is laugh. That you guys don't understand God. You really don't. Because, and this is why I want to read this Galatians chapter 1. This is what I've been explaining for some weeks now. It's very crucial. How do we recognize God's voice? All right? Because people come with words like, different kinds of words. And because we think that if I reject that word, it means I have rejected his entire revelation. Do you understand? And sometimes conflicts come into our lives because we don't understand, because there are people who have seen visions, and when they finish narrating the vision, I'll just say, that's very nice. Now, some of those visions are very true and accurate. That what I mean by true and accurate is that the person is not lying. But I said this vision was created. It was a movie the Lord made so you can understand certain issues. Let me give you something that will interest you. Many years ago, when my wife and I first met, I'm a Bible teacher. I taught her a lot of things. There were statements I made, and she was like, No, how can it be? It was just out of the world. Then one day she read Rejoinder, The Final Quest, and started believing the things that I said to her months ago that she could not stomach. But now that Rejoinder came with revelation of vision, it was easy to absorb. So I said, look, listen, I did not need Rejoinder to tell me that. It's written in the Bible. Now, Rejoinder is correct. Are you getting my point? Rejoinder is correct. But she couldn't absorb it until somebody began to narrate that then God spoke to me and God spoke to me and then I had this vision. Fine. The problem is sometimes that now you don't want to go beyond that level. You may sometimes have to reject some of the things that appears that God supposedly said to that person. So are you not saying that his visions are false? Maybe somebody else comes up with some issues. No, not necessarily. What just happens is that sometimes what God has done is that he's helped us to understand certain levels in some issues of life. Then we're not going beyond that level. So that other one now begins to look as if, is it inaccurate? No, revelations are in levels. So what God gives to a man at a time usually is a revelation for that level. Are you getting my point? So what I'm trying to emphasize is that where we go to is what? The perfect will of God. Whatever it is that we are doing, we must be heading for the perfect will of God. Do you understand the point? We must be doing what? Heading for the perfect will of God. And I said to you, the perfect will of God, all right, is hardly, I'm not saying never, is rarely spoken to anybody. It's been recorded. You hear what I said? It's been what? Recorded. Most of the things we come to encounter in personal revelations are inferior to the perfect will of God. The reason being that God is communicating something to me. I give an example that God can say to me, Banky, go to Onesha. And then, because you have to understand that God doesn't speak English. Please, I wish you get my point. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak English. I hope you know that. No, he communicates. He communicates. That is why if a man with bad English hears God, he hears bad English. That is, someone said, and God spoke to me. And he quotes what God said. And I said, God didn't go to school. That is, the grammar is so bad. I don't know whether you get my point. And you begin to wonder, is it that God did not go to school? How come God doesn't know ordinary English grammar? He's not God. God communicated, then it was decoded into his heart by his mechanism of bad language. But he got the point. Are you getting my point? No, God is not going to come teaching you English. I hope you know that. I don't know whether you get my point. You will get what he's saying. He doesn't come to teach you English. The problem is that when somebody now wants to communicate it to another person, he now wants to impress upon me that this was what God said. And then I, not knowing how bad his own English is in his heart, I start decoding what God said to him in correct English. Then I turn it upside down. There are books I have read. I say, obviously this book was not written in English. Like, have you ever read some Watchmanese? Some of these were written in Chinese. And by the time they brought it down to English, some of the lessons in them were lost. And that's why if you're a Bible student, you have to read references. You can't just take a Bible and read. I don't know where I get my point. You have to read different Bible, get an amplified Bible, read simple, read good translations like New American Standard, then get a properly, like something like the Message Bible, right? New Living Translation. Get them on the side. Get amplified. Read them commentaries. Because to bring things down from Greek to English, a lot of things are lost. When we have to give it literally. Are you getting my point? Now let me quickly get back to what I was saying about God. So when God says something to a man, he communicates what the man can understand. So when God, I said that God doesn't speak English. So sometimes when he's speaking, all right, he imparts a spirit. Your ability to hear it, that's what I've been talking about for the last few weeks, is determined by a number of things. All of them inside you. None of them him. So God says, go to Onesha. What I hear, that's what I'm coming to now. That's why I went to all of that. What I will hear, I'll say, as I was speaking, as I was sleeping, the Lord spoke to me that I should go to, you'll be surprised. I say, Oka. And God is not angry. At least you are heading towards what? Onesha. No problem. Then I move, I pack and get to Oka. After 2 years, then the word resounds again. This time around, I'm ready to move. And the Lord now says again, my son, thou shalt arise. This time around, I hear, go to Onesha. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is the issue. God has not spoken a second time. Once he has spoken, I am just hearing it a second time because it is now that I'm ready to absorb the fullness of his revelation. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? That's why, let me tell you, you can't die with one man. I don't know what I heard I said. That people say that this was all God told our Father in the Lord. And I feel bad for them. I don't know whether I get my point. Because revelation is what? Progressive. The only one that's perfect is the one that's recorded. Your ability to decode that which is recorded is progressive. So a man tells you that this is what God spoke to me at the beginning of the ministry. You want to die around that word. I feel bad for you because God won't even have any mercy on you if over years you don't grow, you're still following one man. Whatever it is that God speaks to anybody, use that to head for the perfect will of God. That's why if you're a preacher, I am saying many things, all right? Without getting back to me, I want to say, if you're a preacher, don't be angry when one day when somebody leaves you. Do you get my point? Nobody was born to come and die with you, maybe apart from your wife. Yes, you must get that point. The Bible makes it clear, there's a time for everything. There's a time to embrace, and then there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to let go. That's what he was saying. People will come to you, you must be wise. The time will come to allow them go. They will not die with you. They are children of God. They have a direct communication with the Father. You are just supposed to train them for a while. It is not disloyalty when you left your secondary school teacher. You have to go to university. When you finish first degree, they say, this my dean was so nice, I will never leave this school. That's why they came to John and said, the man you baptized is gathering more church, you understand what I'm saying, than you. And John said, leave that side. A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. He said, I've already told you, he must increase and I must decrease. The man understood that life has phases. Please, do you get what I'm going to explain? How do we recognize God's voice? This is a summary of what I'm saying. It's simple. We continually train ourselves in the perfect will of God. Are you getting my point? And that is through that which is recorded. Then listen to this. All other things are added. What do I mean? You know, having thought on these things for a while, this is when I'm praying, I hear myself preach again when I'm praying. What I mean is this. So when I'm trying to say that, God, what do we do? Hold on, I'm praying. And it's as if God says nicely to my heart. You know, that's where I feel. What do you want to do here? And I don't know what you get on to explain. Now, the idea is, listen. See, that won't God communicate his perfect will? I've told you again and again. Now, God is very nice. Do you hear what I said? He's very nice. Very, very. He's not angry. He's not quick to anger. The Bible says he's slow to anger. Alright? And he knows what you can hear and he knows what you can't hear. No matter how much you persuade him to talk, he won't if he knows you can't hear it. I don't know what I heard I said. No, if you like, pray from now till next year, trying to get God to utter something. He won't push anything into your ears if he knows you don't have the ability to conceive it. Like I said to you before, the reason is because it brings you more judgment. Because once he utters and you disobey, it becomes a matter of judgment. And he doesn't want that. So he relaxes. So this is the idea. What do I do here? The Holy Spirit is slow to start. You know, all this one that I woke up in the morning and God began to talk to me. I told you, if you practice it, stop it now. Amen? Please, I'm begging you. Stop it. If somebody around you says it, don't mind him. What did I say? You are afraid. Look, if I say this, I hope you won't go and quarrel with somebody. If you go to church and pastor just shows you, of course, this man, God began to speak to me. Just the pastor. Pastor Frank says, you don't bother with that. Say to us what you want to say. Don't harass us with God said to you. You know the reason? Because one day you'll be embarrassed. You will come back and change. You know, you've not seen it before. You will just change exactly what God said to you. Now, it is that he didn't say, well, it's not as if he did not say or he said. It's just that now you can hear better. Your hearing is keener, is clearer. Your ability to perceive is better. So God doesn't expect you to just fight and fight and fight until he utters a word. What does he expect you to do? Brethren, you just keep growing in the knowledge of God. You keep renewing your way of thinking. Do you get my point? Listen, every time you may need to make a decision, all right? Before you start, when you say, God, reveal to us your will, you know what he does? He trains you in his will. Listen to me. Listen to what I want to say. You know, what he does, he hardly just utters, wham. No. What he does is to train you in his will. Let me say something to you. I want to read the scripture I'm reading. I said you should open to, but I just, let me continue to talk, all right? I'll read that scripture in a moment, all right? I'll read in a moment. That's Galatians chapter 1. You see, what God does is that he trains you in his will. I want to use this illustration. It always gets exciting when I get to this point, all right? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Let us assume that let's assume now that there's a young woman, all right? Her name is look for a name that could be anybody. That's not common in Nigeria. All right, let's assume there's one young woman. Her name is Priscilla. All right, very, very nice. All right, okay. So Priscilla is sitting down, and she knows this guy, Aquila. All right. They go to the same church. She's always seen Aquila around, and Aquila is a nice guy. They get along a bit well. They are in the same department in church, and then one day, Aquila shows up. Either with God said to me, or less, he's a nice guy. He doesn't come harassing her. God said to me, he just comes to say nicely, I've been praying about you for a while, so I just feel like, he manages to say it. You know what I'm saying? The Lord, I feel like the Lord will be happy if you agree to marry me, and I'm asking right now. Now, let me tell you something, Sister Priscilla. If you have the answer, there, give it there. Amen. If you have never thought about it before, you know, it happens. Sometimes it's like shock. I thought it was a nice guy. I'm not serious. He buy you an expensive bottle of perfume on your birthday. Are you the only person that is nice to? You know what he can afford and what he can't afford. That was a lot of tithe and offering on your birthday. There's nothing nice about that. Guys want to be nice. They are nice to poor people, not rich girl like you. See, they buy you expensive perfume. So anyway, now you made a mistake. Now you know he's not a nice guy. He's a guy with ulterior motives. Amen? It's not a bad motive. But it's the point. All right? So suddenly he comes to you with that kind of question. And it's surprising to you. Now, first I said, if you have the answer there, it's not surprising. Maybe you've been liking him too, and you have been praying about him. And now finally, he now asked, all right, you don't want to answer there. It's be like you're begging for it. Okay, no problem. So just go home and quickly come back after a while. Just say, okay, call me in 1 week. And if he doesn't call you, call him. Say, don't do like you're calling him to say, just come and say, how now, please, is your phone still working? So if it's not working, how did I answer you? Okay, I was just wondering, you're supposed to call me yesterday, you did not. I mean... Nothing bad about you. He'll tell a nice story about you later. That's a very nice guy. I mean, he didn't give me any wahala. All right? Now, but there are times, let's say, you don't have an answer. Now, you see, sometimes you hear that a woman took a year to answer. Do you get my point? All right? And some of us will say, why are they wasting time? This is exactly where I'm going to. If you don't have the answer, or you've heard a story that a woman takes 1 year to answer, you see, what's she doing? She's praying. I say something all the time, all right? Let me say something to you clearly. Let's not get carried away by somebody's testimony who just woke up one day, and as he was walking on the road, suddenly he was not walking on the ground anymore. He walked into the clouds, amen. And he began, on his left, he saw thunder and lightning striking. And on the right, he saw the earth begin to quake. And somebody came and comforted him in the midst of his affliction. And it was Sister Priscilla. Of every 1 million Christians, maybe only one will see that kind of vision. All those who dream and saw wedding gown, it is not God, it's their imagination. Oh gosh, I wish you would get what I'm saying. I know where I'm going. Now, this is the point. So, most of us won't have that kind of this thing. What happens to most of us is simple. Listen to what this is what I want to say. God persuades, let me put it like this. God wants to get to a level. Let me say what I'm saying clearly. Please listen to me. God doesn't like people hiding behind. It's surprised if I say this. He doesn't really like people hiding behind the fact that it was because God told me I would not have done it. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He doesn't like that. What he wants is that, I've said it to you before, what God wants in the lives of Christians is that even if he were to go on leave, are you getting my point? You will still do what he will love you to do. Let's assume you run an organization, all right, big organization. You're a sensible person, all right? You know the crease for head. You're a sensible person. You will not promote somebody to maybe be your immediate deputy because he's your brother or you like his face or all those things. Apart from being hardworking, you know, hard work will not make you somebody's trusted assistant. No. What will make you get there quicker is that the man knows that this man reads my mind. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. What happened when this one happened? He said, oh, we called this man, your assistant, and he said we should do this. He said, oh, that guy, you know, he reads my mind. He already knows what I will want done. No matter how hardworking he is, if he always makes decisions that are against what I would like to do, I won't promote him to that level. I can make him an assistant somewhere, but a deputy that's supposed to deputize someone I'm not around, not him. There are a lot of who are very hardworking. They need instructions. Look, when to get up, when to sit down, when to move. They will move if you say move. But if you don't give the instructions, they will move upside down. Now, what does God really want? I taught this one before. I call it God's deputies. What God really wants is that we can think the way he will think. And when it comes to our personal lives also, do you get my point? What he also wants so that is that we'll get to a point that even if he led us in a particular dimension, all right, in a particular area, we will not only have, listen to this, God said to me, as the only reason why we are doing it, it gets to a point, either at the beginning or somewhere later on, that even if somebody was to withdraw, that God said to me, you will still say, this is what I would have loved to do. Let me just use one to illustrate. When I finished my postgraduate training, my NYSC, or my year of internship, and I was a youth copper now, I was down thinking what I would do afterwards. Somewhere along the line, I made up my mind to become a pathologist, all right? Now, you say, why? Now, this is what I'm coming to. I have three, when people ask me, how did you decide to pursue this specialty? I have a number of answers I give. I'll give you two of them, all right? And there's a reason I want to give you two of them, because it will help you to understand one point I want to make. One, to people who are very spiritual, I can tell you that, one day I was praying and the Lord just dropped the idea in my heart and I knew it was God and that was it. Do you understand? And that's good. That's correct. All right? And then that's true. I can take you to this chair I was sitting. I came from my alumni fellowship and it was around May 1st. I was at home before I went back to my station in Taraba State. And that day I was just meditating. I'm going to get that to those things in a moment again. All right? And the thing dropped in my mind like a coin. Somebody dropped a coin into a box. All right? And I knew that was what God wanted me to do. But that's one. Secondly, before then, I was thinking, and I will refer to it, though we've talked about it before. When Peter and Co had to replace Judas, how did they arrive at Matthias? They arrived at his replacement because they put certain criteria down, and only two people filled those criteria. Fulfill them, all right? Only two people. And one of them had to fill that post. So they didn't know what to choose. So they now cast lots, and then they now chose one of them. Now, are you getting the point? Now, the criteria were the person had to be with us from the beginning, one. He had to be with us till the end, two. He had to be a witness, an eyewitness of everything that happened, and must have witnessed the resurrection, and then the ascension, and all of that, because they had to be witnesses. Now, when they checked all the bodies of people there, all right, when they checked the whole body of people, the only two people that were able to fulfill those conditions were the two people they had to cast a lot of money. They were only two people. So they chose one. Now, this is what I'm coming to. What God really wants from us as believers is that we are able to draw those criteria. Listen to what I'm coming to here. Let us assume that Peter, James, John, all of them didn't have enough understanding. You know what they would have done? They would have gathered everybody. They would have been praying. Hey, Lord, you will speak. You will speak to us your will. I help now, I beg. Time is going. Now, you will assume that God will just say, hey, choose Matthias. No. You know what he will have done? First, they will meet today. Then John will probably have a word of knowledge. He may not even know it's an understanding from the Spirit. What I mean, like a direct, he just know that something, listen. Are we looking for a replacement for Judas? Yes. What was Judas supposed to be? They will analyze the life of Judas. He was supposed to be an eyewitness of everything that occurred. He said, good. So let's pick somebody, do you understand my point? That was there. Now the first thing God will do for John, for them, is to bring that understanding through John, as an example. Then as they are going on, somebody will say, wait, we picked how many people now? 50. And they were still praying. The person must have witnessed the resurrection. Okay. Now, and he said, why do you say so? Then he begins to explain why. This understanding that God is giving him. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Then somebody else brings another point. Along the line, one thing or the other is tying together. Finally, they will not arrive at that same point. That they will not have to cast lots. Because after all the understanding God had given them, they didn't know anything beyond that. Now, what am I saying? What God will have done over time is to educate them. Oh, I don't know what you get what I said. What we like, which is not what true Christianity is, a lot of us confuse what is sensational with that which is spiritual. Spiritual things are not necessarily sensational. You walk in the Spirit, and that's a constant thing. Yet, waking up is not sensational. Coming up here for Bible study is not sensational. It's just a normal thing. But that's walking in the Spirit, if you're a believer. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so, most of us would rather have that which is sensational. As I was lying down, God just spoke, boom! And, then, you know, we like to tell the story. Now, why I teach the way I teach, all right, it's not because those things don't happen. But like I said, they are not usual. They are not common. They don't happen often. They are not the perfect will of God. So if I was a preacher that I came with stories like that, or maybe I'm a prophet, and prophets tend to have a lot of interesting manifestations like that because their ministry really does not include reasoning things out. What I mean is that if God wants to punish a nation, it may be a nation they have never been to. And God will just wake Jonah up. Say, Jonah, go to Nineveh and go and prophesy against it. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So if I come and I say, look, how did I know I was supposed to go to Nineveh? I woke up in the morning and the voice of the Lord came to me. Brethren, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, you got to stay in the Spirit. You wake up in the morning, you face the east, and then God's voice will come to you. You forget that his brother went to visit his cousin last week. God did not speak to him. He didn't tell us that one. He's only telling us the story of how he went to Nineveh. A place that he's going to for the first time since 17 years ago. That he last went there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why did he not go there all this while? Or the other time when he went, you know, his life was going on every day for 17 years. His life is not dictated by the visit to Nineveh. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I am teaching to believers how to walk daily. Even though you don't have the sun suddenly rising from the west so as to make a point to your life. So you see that rather than what most of us look out for, those things that are sensational, actually what God would rather do is to train us with those points of decision, all right, in understanding his will. That's what I'm going to explain. So, now, I said to us before, usually when you get to that kind of point, like I said, I've not forgotten Priscilla, what you're actually doing is considering many things, all right? So now, let's get back to Priscilla. So Priscilla suddenly realized that, look, this brother Aquila is really serious about this his marriage proposal. Then suddenly, now listen to this, suddenly she starts looking at him from with a different eye now. That is, before she did not care when he's late coming. Maybe the guy is always coming late for Bible studies. You know what I'm saying? It didn't bother her a bit. But now she noticed that he comes late. Now, the issue now is that what has late coming now got to do with his life, how she will relate with him, and all the stuff like that? She starts thinking about it. But that's a small thing. Let's take more serious matters. And I like to get down to things that often bother us. Oh no, all my life I always wanted to have a fantastic wedding, you know, with honeymoon in Tahiti. Aquila cannot even identify an airplane. They put him in front of one like this. That is, that's how unlikely he is to take you to Tahiti. He's not taking you to Tahiti. That may sound funny. That's a prayer point. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It may take Priscilla. Now, depending on how long Priscilla has been incubating Tahiti, maybe she first saw an advert of a holiday in the Caribbean, holiday here, and the one they advertised about Tahiti was the one that really captured her. And since she was young, she's always wanted to go to Tahiti. And somebody said that it's a nice place for honeymoon, so she's been dreaming. And then she now went to fellowship. Then I said, you can call those things that be not as though they were. So she began to call Tahiti. And in the last 7 years, she's been calling Tahiti to be not as though it were. All right. To be as though it were. She's been calling Tahiti. Then you now show up with one bubble. That not only can he not afford Tahiti, he does not even know what is so called. Now, you get what I'm saying? For most of us, it's not a big deal. But for some people, it might be. And for Sister Priscilla, that's a 1 week prayer point. Listen, no matter how much God wants to say, Aquila is my will. God, you have to settle the matter of Tahiti. You have to. No, listen, I'm being honest with you. God has to settle the matter of Tahiti. You know how God is going to do it? There are different ways. Most importantly, the most likely way he will do it, in fact, I think that's the way he does it. He starts infusing the word and starts putting the holiday in Tahiti in the proper perspective. That, listen, my girl, this has nothing to do with eternity. Vanity upon vanity. Next time she'll pick a Bible, she's been reading Ecclesiastes. They are even using it for drama. She's a poet. She has read Ecclesiastes again and again and again and again and again. But this time around, suddenly it makes meaning. Alright? Vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. Then she knows that Solomon said that, I gathered vineyards and I gathered this. At the end of the day, I found out that it was what? Vanity. Next time she sees an advert of holiday in Jamaica. Holiday in whatever it is, any of those other islands. Next thing she says herself, vanity. All is what? Vanity. But the Aquila is getting closer to the goal. He has dribbled the first defender. He's moving closer. Are you getting my point? Now, different issues are coming up. Now, most people think that God will just speak. Aquila, no. God knows the hindrances. Are you getting my point? So as she's praying, after 1 week, she's suddenly realized that the guy is not as bad as she thought at the beginning. So she thinks. The truth is that Tahiti has been removed as an issue in her heart. Suddenly, it's looking more attractive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before, the reason why she was not so sure about him was because of certain reasons. Now, God has solved the first one. Then he's looking more eligible. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then maybe this is Nigeria. My mother always said we couldn't marry somebody from. There's one sister who told me that her father said, you can marry anybody, must not be a Yoruba man. You've heard it before. That one, she's from the east. He's like, must not marry from the west. There are people who have said, they are both from the east too. See that village, if you cross that river, it's one, not, that's a river, stream that dries up during the dry season. Anybody on the other side of that stream is an enemy. If you bring a white man, I don't mind. But this stream, I know they cross out. If you go and wait there, you will go on your own. Because it is forbidden. Now, there are issues like that. Now, those ones are the, you are getting to the real warfare now. What do I call it? Real warfare. Then, your cousin will suddenly ask one day, this brother Aquila has been coming here. Where is he from? Okpari. He didn't want to discuss it. Now they have brought up the matter. He's from across the stream. What did you say? I hope your father has not noticed that he's from across the stream. Let me tell you. He starts telling you, do you know? 6 years ago, my sister was going to get married. They told her that people from across the strip, they are wicked souls. She did not believe. Do you know what happened? Last year, the man finally married the second wife and drove her out because the first time she had a child, it was a girl. Second time, it was a girl. And he said that he has a cheating sister too. I'm telling you. You think you're a Christian? When it comes to serious matters, Christianity is not a... Look, listen. After all, there are Christians on this side of the river, of the stream. See the issues? Now, you think it's a small thing? I have been there before when one sister was contemplating a more serious matter. I didn't even know. I just know they were discussing, I don't want to give it to you, but you know, something like this across the stream kind of thing. And she was somewhere behind and she was lying down on her bed, was in the hostel. So a number of us are sitting down on one side. We're just talking to each other, talking about some issues about life. And she said, "Amen, praise God." And she would turn. She was twisting and turning. It was later on I realized that what we're discussing were the issues in her mind. And it took her 1 year or a year and a half to finally prayerfully settle the matter. And I remember one of my friends was helping her that time. Say, "Look at you. Serious brother wants to marry you. You are still praying after all these months. You know he has traveled. You know he has traveled. One other woman will catch him there. Sit down here, they pray." And she was like, "Hey, go away. Leave me. You know, we're just twisting." After that, my friend left. I told her, I said, "Don't mind him." And I now told her that, "Don't mind my friend. That if the brother travels, and another person is like, yeah, good now. That means that he's not your own." I didn't even know that I was speaking the word of God. In fact, that this Holy Spirit entered into me. You know, there was get behind me, Satan. This one's get in front of me. Holy Ghost, continue to talk. Why? Because it's not just about God said, God did not say. No. There were issues and they were being, listen, considered in the center of prayer. So that kind of sister, her cousin, not knowing that he has come as a tempter, you know what they call tempter? An adversary, an accuser of the brethren. He doesn't know. Is that not a believer, or is a believer that doesn't understand the importance of the word of God and the doctrines of God in certain areas? So he just says that and he goes away. He has worsened her plight. But God will not lead her to a prayer meeting or a Bible study the next day. And maybe somebody that speaks like Pastor Banky will show up. The Lord is good. Give us offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. In Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, and you keep talking. I say, listen, there are different spheres in life. If you marry according to the customs of a village, remember to pray to the gods of the village for prosperity, for marital bliss, and all of that. It keeps on talking. And realize that this guy is locating you properly. Say, this is a matter of faith or unbelief. So that you're on God's side or you're not on God's side. And he talks. He's strengthening your heart. And he says that, well, are we saying that natural things are not real? No, we are not saying so. We know people like that don't love their wives. We know the people from this area, people say that they are very wicked to their children. We know they disappoint, you know. He said, but those are the people of the world. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything is become. As you have preached, you don't know that. That's why it's good to be a preacher. You are helping people every day. You don't realize it. You just preach your own. You think you just go talk. You go home and say, "My wife, I didn't even preach much today." You don't realize that you've solved the major hurdle in the life of Priscilla. So next time, another adversary of the brethren, this time around, an uncle comes and says, "Priscilla, my daughter, my son came the last time and told me that you were considering marrying that boy Aquila from across the street. I said, let me come and give you the wisdom of the aged." You see how our people say, "Uncle, excuse me." I know our people say, but I found out what God says. There is the wisdom of the aged as well, but there is the wisdom of the ancient of days. He said, you know what Elihu said? The aged are not always wise. He said, "Uncle, let me tell you what God says." "Uncle, I hope you are not angry. I hope you are not angry. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. That if any man is in Christ, his life is different from the life of the people around him where he came from. And if indeed in Christ Jesus I marry any man wherever he is from, I will experience the blessing of God in that marriage. And in fact, I feel I have been called by God to put an end to all this nonsense that Satan sold us into more than 100 years ago. And your uncle says, okay, we shall see. He said, uncle, indeed, we shall see. We shall see. There's what is called the righteousness of God. That's what is called we shall see in common day English. Yes, that God will be proved to be right and every man will be proved to be a liar. Are you seeing the voice of God? I want us to get tired of this one of shmo. Wait. It's coming. The Lord has spoken. Let's put that aside. The problem with those kind of manifestations is that they are easy to doubt. When persecution comes tomorrow, because of that word that came, many fall away. I told you, those that spring up quickly don't have depth. Those that have depth don't spring quickly. So when you harass God until finally you manage to connect and hear something, you will incur judgment for yourself if you did not sink your roots downwards before you began to make those decisions. Now you see what I'm saying, that Aquila couldn't hear God day one. Not because God did not speak. God spoke before Priscilla. Not because God did not speak. God spoke before she was born. But Priscilla could not hear. So God is clearing out all the wax in her ears. And it's not just because God wants to speak like that, but God wants to build her up so that she can prove what the will of God is. So that when she wants to counsel people tomorrow, don't ever forget, Christians, your life is not just about you. It said, when you have been converted, what do? You strengthen your brethren. God said, look, Priscilla, you must help other women after you. Therefore, you must come to a realization of what the will of God is. What we do a lot in Christianity today is that we confuse ourselves. That's a good word to use, confuse. In that I say, I've told you my gist several times. One brother came to me and said, did God speak to you concerning the wife you married? I said, yes, he did. He said, what did he say? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. And he started laughing. I said, listen, oh boy, until that time I married the woman that I liked. They will begin to discuss which kind of woman do I like. How do we confuse ourselves? You say, bro, amen. They suddenly put on a spiritual garb. You want to hear how the Lord spoke to me? No problem. Did you have time? Do you have time? You have time, yes. All right. On day one, I entered into the heavens. Say, bro, how did you do that? He said, you don't know that one? Okay, let's make an appointment for how to discuss how to enter into the heavens. Then we'll start discussing that one. So they say, you start with praise. You know, the Bible says that you enter his courts with praise. So, you go and look for one nice ronkenoli. You begin to worship. Hey, mama. You continue to worship until you lose sight of the environment. Oh, if you open your eyes and you still see the ceiling in your room, then you have not reached it yet. You say, how long did that one take? Say, the first day, boy, I worship for 15 hours. The guy go look like, say, guy, I work in a bank. They no go give me that kind of 15 hours. He said, you go take leave. It's a serious matter. He said, okay, when we enter the heavens, uncle, then I began to approach the throne of God. The Bible says, by grace. How did we use grace to approach? I'll tell you. Grace is when the word of God is coming forth from your mouth rapidly. So you get some scriptures. Memorize them, like 25 of them, before you start. Then you finally you behold the face of God. You say, what now happened? Then God now said to me, thou, my son, shall marry that girl that thy heart desireth. He said, sir, excuse me, we are back to where we started. The one that your heart desires. You see what I'm saying? We like that. And it has caused a lot of confusion. So young men and young women now go home. They go to the office. Good morning, sir. Sir, I have some important personal matters. Can I take leave next week? And of course, you go through all the rigmarole. Finally, you approach the throne of God also. And God will say, my son, thou shalt marry the woman whom thy heart desires. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. You come back home. The confusion starts. Who does my heart really desire? You see the problem? You see the problem? Because we are not proving what the will of God is. So I was telling you that. So it might take Priscilla 1 year to give Aquila an answer. It is not because I'm talking about a good person, a nice Christian woman who wants to do the will of God. Are you getting my point? I'm not talking about those who came to church to find husband. You know, there are people like that. You know, the good men, they are in church. So you want to marry a good husband, you come to church. And then there are guys who think that the good girls are in church. So of course, the whole God is not mocked. So the guy that came to find the girl means the girl that came to find the guy. And the Jezebel and the Ahab will marry themselves and go down to Samaria. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's true. Now we're talking about people who really indeed, I'm teaching Christians, all right? I'm not teaching jokers. I'm not teaching jokers. You know, I told you the other day we went to preach somewhere. And Jonathan, you know that brother who crawled on himself? Sir, you said there are keys of life. I said, yes. Can you just drop two of them for me? Especially concerning prosperity. And after dropping the first two, the guy lost interest. Because what he wanted to hear, you know what he wanted to hear. I came from an angle that his pastor has been trying to teach them. So when I told the pastor about the incident, he was very happy. Because the pastor was not around that day. I told him that, listen, number one, prosperity takes time to come. What it looked like. Which kind of God are you preaching? That was my own first one. I said, you must be diligent and be patient. These are not the keys we are looking for, God. We know this key. We want the master key, you know. That one in one instant, we open 17 doors. No, there are people like that. No, I'm not talking to such people tonight. Amen. I'm talking to those who really want to know the will of God. All right? Now, so, I was saying, so the young Priscilla will be there for a whole year, possibly. That's why, don't leave learning how to recognize God's voice until you have to make a crucial decision. I heard somebody tell me once that some of these things you are preaching now, I don't need them now. It's a very stupid statement to make. You hear what I said? Maybe you feel like you're only 23 and you're a man. Marriage is still far away. You're just about to graduate. So when they are talking of marriage matters, you close your ears. You're a foolish man. You know why? If you don't learn it now, all right? If God was going to spend 4 years to teach you, and you started learning at 30, you will finish learning at 34. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let nobody tell you that anything they are preaching, once it is the word of God, go and learn it. If they are preaching how to get your healing from God and you are not sick, learn it. Listen, if they are preaching on how to raise children, and it's the word of God, I'm not talking about this psychology that's popular in the body of Christ today. I'm talking about the word of God. Learn it. Because God can do quick work in righteousness. Today you are seeing fellowship doing, this is the following year, God will have just done many things. Unless you know you don't marry. And you say, I pray to the Lord. And for the first 2 years, only my wife and I, the end of the first year, goes up. Oh! Two. It's called born one, get one free. Is that the time you want to start? Look, listen. So don't let nobody tell you that. Because no, listen. No, I'm telling you, it's very important. You learn when there's quiet. You learn when there's peace. You don't learn the time of trouble and calamity and troubles. No, you learn now that you don't need it. Why? Because it will take long. In fact, it's harder to learn when you're under tension. Yes, it's harder. It's easier when you're at peace. All this is I'm saying. Aquila can learn it easier. Priscilla can learn them easier if Aquila is not standing there. Because then you can be objective. You know, there are times you use doctrine to deny what you really want to do. I mean, like what you don't want to do. You'll be hiding because you don't want to do this thing. So if any word from above says you should do it, you won't hear that word. So you learn easier when there's no pressure on you, all right? You learn easier. When there's pressure, it's harder to learn under pressure. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? All right, so this is what I'm trying to make in all of these things. So you see that her praying for 1 year is not just about trying to say, did God say I should marry Aquila or God said I should not? No. It is trying to get to the point, are you getting my point, where her heart can convincingly marry Aquila and she won't feel bad about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Let me stop there. I'm not doing a marriage seminar, all right? I just want to use that one to illustrate my point very well. So you see that when we're saying that God speaks, yes, it's a matter of fact, God does. But like I've been explaining, that the recognition, the ability to recognize that God has spoken, is not something you just fine-tune your ears. No, it's something you attain to by the fine-tuning of your heart, by the retraining of your mind. So we read last time that he said, that Paul was explaining, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we are saying again. Alright, I just wanted to review briefly, but I ended up going into discussing all of those things. I said we should open somewhere at the beginning, Galatians chapter 1. Why did I read that? Let's go down to Galatians chapter 1. Please, what I've emphasized, or what I have tried to emphasize, is the fact that most of the things we call, I prayed until God spoke. No. It's the delay is because of the training of our hearts that's taking place. And God doesn't like to just speak like that. He would rather train us into understanding his will. Understanding is what gives you stability. Anything that your heart just suddenly conjures up, do you understand? It's easy to, you will doubt it after, and God knows you will doubt it. Paul said, we have not come to build something on one vision that we supposedly saw. Let's read that one. You'll see why I said we should read this one. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to start from verse 6 and we'll read quite a number of it. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, this is my emphasis from verse 8. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men, of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Let me just leave this one here. Paul described that those who are puffed up because of some visions they claim to have. Are you getting my point? Yes. There are people like that. And Paul was saying that no matter what vision a man has, it must align with that which is recorded. That I'm summarizing it now. Are you getting my point? Now, before I discuss this one further, let me go into the next thing I actually wanted to say, why it's necessary that we read this. A follow-up to all things I've been saying. Now, having said all of these things, and I've said this several times to us before, there's what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? I don't want to read it now. And he said all of them is the same God. Now, there are diversities of manifestations. There are. Ken Hagin will tell you that he married Aretha. And let me just say this before I finish this story. I hope you have understood now that you cannot just hang on somebody's single testimony because you don't know what his life was like before that point. Ken Hagin said that he married Aretha because one day he was praying, and I think either in a vision or something, he heard the Lord speak to him to marry her and all of that. Okay? But you understand, Aretha was not from Anambra State while he was from Kogi State. You follow what I'm saying? Those issues he did not have to solve at that point. Maybe he was a Methodist and she was a Baptist or the other way around, but he has solved the issue before that point. Are you getting the point I'm making? These are the issues we must understand. Before we just go and hang on the fact that Ken Hagin saw in a vision, God wants to show you vision too. You say you can't hear it. And let me prove to you in his life, because I read a lot of his books. One day he had a vision. And the Lord came to him, and there was one guy standing behind him. So he said, "Who is that?" And he said, "That's your angel." Now listen to what I want to say. And he said, "He has a message for you." Now listen to me. I won't give you the whole details. But this is a point. He said there was a day that angel came to give him a message. He said that day he was alone in his mobile home. And he felt somebody, because he remembered it, he felt that somebody entered the room. Actually, he got up, went and checked, and there was nobody there. At the point in time, he felt the person was standing near the bed. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Then after a while, he had a feeling that the person left. Later on in this vision, the Lord told him that really happened. That angel came to give him a message, listen to this, but he was not willing to receive it. I have read Ken Hagin's book to and fro. I have not been able to find an explanation for why he was not able to receive it. Are you getting my point? But now with understanding, you know, God didn't even have to show it to me. He knew I would learn it eventually. There are many issues. And that's what I want to understand about life. Many times God wants to pass things across to us. But there are so many strongholds that are not allowing us to receive those things. So you see, many times God wants to pass things across to us, but we are not ready. That's why I keep on telling us, let's stop praying for visions. You don't need them. When you are ready, the one that's necessary for you will come to you. Are you getting my point? So he said that the Lord told him that the angel came to give him a vision, a message, but he was not ready. He was not willing. That's the word that was used. But when I look at it now, the message that he was giving, I suppose that probably at that time, he still had a lot of strongholds in his mind. And those strongholds were not allowing him, all right? Or those strongholds would not allow him to receive the instruction that angel wanted to give him. And the angel came to fulfill all righteousness, because God understands all of these things. And having stood there for a while and demonstrated in the realm of the spirit that this man can't receive this, he departed. So when you want to quote somebody's vision that God used to direct him, you must know where his life was by the time God brought that vision. And God has wanted to give you bigger visions, all right? Except that you were not ready to receive them. I don't need to put that one in, by the way. Do you understand my point? So Ken Hagin married his wife because he had a vision. Derek Prince married his second wife. His first wife died. He married his second wife because he had a vision. And let me tell you again about Derek Prince. By the time he came and told his co-workers, you can imagine that maybe he has co-workers like we have in Kingdom World Ministries. United co-workers, "I want to marry this person." And all of them refused. And his inner, you know, his brothers that they worked closely together, they refused. Now listen to men of understanding. The first day I heard this, I wondered how a man could make that kind of decision. He said he was going to tell the woman that, "I'm sorry I bothered you. But it appears that this is not going to work." Why? "Because my brothers said no." They are not blood brothers, you know, they are brethren, they are the co-ministers. And listen, when I heard him say that he was going to tell her to forget it, I said, "But you had a vision from God." Are you getting my point? But it's now I understand that Paul said, if with a vision, a man shows up and turns over, he scatters all the principles of the word of God, let him be accursed. And the priest understood that if indeed it was a vision of God, God knew how to settle that matter. A lot of people hold on to, God said to me, you know their problem? They are stubborn. They are not willing to be taught. Therefore, they hide behind "God said to me." They will do everything wrong. Listen, let me just tell you. Anyway, I'm not talking marriage now. But be careful before you disobey all proper orders of life because God said to you. That's why I read that scripture first. That Paul said there are things that are solid. They are foundational. Even visions can't turn them upside down. That's what I wanted to bring out. So, Ken Hagin, God told him to marry, he married. Derek Prince, he had a vision, he married based upon the vision. Many people have married based upon visions. most people marry not based upon visions. And let me tell you one more time. The fact that you saw a vision is not proof that you are spiritual. Listen, the reason why God gave Peter the vision of the great sheet coming from heaven was because of stubbornness. Are you getting my point? Lack of understanding and the urgency of the situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was not a testament to this spirituality of Peter. If anything, it was an indictment upon the fact that these people are carved in stone in their old ways of Judaism. And for many years into the ministry of Peter, he was not cured yet. Go and read Galatians properly, you see Paul refer to it. I told my wife this some time ago, she saw it to be true. There are those who are carried away by visions. Once somebody can say, I dreamt and I saw it and I saw it, they are carried away. As it's a matter of spirituality. The more spiritual man is a man who can discern the will of God without a vision. That's because I told you, spiritualism and spirituality are two different things. A real spiritual man is the one that his mind has been so corrected that he looks at the situation and he decodes the will of God from reasoning spiritually. That's what I mean by spiritually, with the word of God, with the principles of the word of God. Now let me not just forget what I want to bring out. So the issue is simple. So there are times God manifests. Like in Peter's case, and let me just say this. One of the reasons why God manifests like that is when the manifestation or the will of God, let me put it like that, cannot be arrived at using the amount of information available. Or because, like I said, God understands in his mercy that Peter is so used to Judaism, he doesn't understand how to relate to Gentiles. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the point? Now, no matter the revelation, or before I say that, let me just continue. There are diversities of manifestations. If I have time, I'll get down to it. The matter of conscience. A man's conscience. People say your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Have you heard that big thing before? Yes. Let me just tell you something what conscience really is. Your conscience is the voice of your habit. And the voice of your training. It's not the voice of any spirit at all. When a mafia man shoots his enemy, his conscience does not talk. Yeah, his conscience doesn't talk. Conscience speaks when you violate your normal, when you violate your training. That's the way to put it. That's when your conscience speaks. Conscience is a recoil, let me go like that. When a normal training established in your heart is violated. That's why you see, I put a few references down, but I may not refer to them now. Paul would talk about the fact that he served God with a good conscience in persecuting the church. The same Paul went down further and served God with a good conscience in preaching the gospel. Because under Judaism, his conscience was dictated by the laws of Moses. Therefore, his conscience was good as he was persecuting the church. But after he had been trained in righteousness, are you getting what I'm saying? His conscience gets stirred up when he walks against the gospel of Christ. So, listen, people say that your conscience is the voice of your spirit. I don't know what it means. Do you follow my point? But conscience is important. And a man shouldn't, and I've mentioned something about it, you don't go against your conscience. That's what the Bible calls doing something not out of faith. My emphasis is on the matter of training. If someone said that my conscience did not prick me, does not mean he's right. It just means he's not trained. I don't know what the hell I said. Listen, right and wrong are matters totally removed from the matter of conscience. It's only when you have trained yourself in right and wrong that the conscience becomes alive. Are you getting my point? There are things that the society says is wrong and God says is right. There are those who still believe that if you tell on your friend, you're a bad person. But God says, if your friend incites you to do that which is evil, you must go and report. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right? Anyway, so one of the manifestations, let's put it like that, diversities of manifestations, I said, by which God can minister his will to people, can utter his voice, his conscience, that is agreed. All right? But we've talked about visions that some men had. One of the ways by which God persuaded me to come to Enugu, I've told you about it before. There are many things, all right? One of them was that one day I was speaking with one guy, Prebo. And he did not even know I was trying to decide to come to Enugu. You know, you are talking with somebody, after a while, the juice is just dry. You understand my point? So he looks for what to say. And without his knowledge of the fact that I was considering coming to Enugu, he began to speak about Enugu. He said, Enugu is a nice place, so very quiet. You will like it. He just talking about it. He began to preach to me about how nice Enugu is as a place. Those are diversities of manifestations. And I say, hey, and you knew it was the voice of God. Listen, I was already thinking, and do you get my point? Because I have had friends who called me. No, once who spoke to me, said, hey, so Banky, when are you planning to join us? Where? To emigrate to UK. And it was not the voice of God. It was the voice of Satan. And I said, get behind me, Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? People have said many things. Different people have said different things at different times. Like Prebo spoke that time. And none of them registered with me because there was nowhere for them to register. Prebo's just only registered because I was already considering Enugu. And I just accepted his spontaneous utterance as one of the manifestations of God. Do you get my point? Please, I hope you understand that. Now, what am I trying to say in all of this? So there are different manifestations. And I can't tell you this how God will speak to you. You will discover later how he speaks to you. There's something that God has been doing with me in the last few days, and it's always fun. Now listen to this. It's very interesting. It's a very trivial thing, but to help you learn a lesson. When I'm looking for something, it happens a lot. It's happened a lot in the last few weeks. Alright? When I'm looking for something, I've searched and searched everywhere. I can't find it. And I pray, hey, dear Lord, help me find this thing. I don't find it. Or I'm rushing. Lord, I need to find this thing. Now let's ask, for example, my car keys. Do you understand? And I've searched everywhere. My wife's not around to ask. Or I asked her, she doesn't know where it is. Who took my car keys? Finally, listen to this. I will just decide to change my shoes for no reason. That why am I even wearing these black shoes? I should wear brown. And I'll kick off the black shoes and pick the brown ones and find the keys under them. This has happened to me. It still happened to me just as I was rushing to come here this afternoon. It still happened again. It's happened so many times that I'll just forget the thing that I'm looking for or the thing that's bothering me and focus on something else to do. And while trying to do that, I discover the other thing. I don't know what you get the point I'm making. This one happened. It's been happening to me so many times in the last few weeks. I'll be looking at a car key. It's a very good example. It don't search everywhere with the key. Finally, I forget. I say, okay, why don't you just complete marking your script? Maybe when your wife comes back, you look for the key. I mean, you ask her and she'll tell you where the key is. And I pick up the envelope containing my student script to start marking. As I pick the envelope up, I hear chicken inside. I check inside. The key fell inside the envelope. That's happened. I'm not making something here. There are diversities of manifestations. But listen to this. Christians don't ever build doctrines or tabernacles or their lives on manifestations. We build them on the word, the revealed truth of God. Those other manifestations only guide us. Listen to me. If you have a vision to marry a woman you don't like, don't marry her until you like her. I'm freezing so that you can enter your heart. If you have a vision or manifestation to marry a man that you don't like, nothing wrong with your vision, nothing wrong with your manifestation. But bros, wait until you like her or like him. I will send the story of the Red Prince as an example. When he first had that vision of the Lord that told him to marry his wife, that his second wife, he said, after he had a vision, he told himself, he told the Lord that, why should I marry this? I don't even love her. I hardly know her anyway. I think he hardly knew the woman. I can't remember the gist, whether He had the vision before he met her or something. All right? Then one day she came to see him where he was sitting down, and because she had a bad back, her back had some problems. So she didn't want to sit on the chair. So she asked to sit on the floor. He was sitting on the table. And she went and sat on the floor so that she could put her back against the wall. He said as soon as she sat down like that, he turned to look at her. That was the exact vision that he had of her. And listen to this. At that point, it was as if somebody poured honey into his soul. Love for her suddenly entered his heart from heaven. He had this suddenly had an intense love for the woman. I'm just going to explain something to you, because you see, I need to say this thing, because Christians, their denominations that have been built on visions. That's a denomination that's not going anywhere. You know how Mormons arose? Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is because of visions that were against the gospel that Paul preached. You know how Islam arose? I have my persuasion. No, sorry, I don't have my persuasion. I'm sorry. It's not a persuasion, it's a suspicion. I have a suspicion. I was reading my Bible yesterday, and I saw that in the book of Acts, that when the Holy Ghost came down, and people came from different areas. I used a New American Bible, not New American Standard, there's New American Version. And the people said that amongst them, they listed amongst those who came and saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit were Arabs. I saw it there. Then I told myself that, because I have looked at Islam. It's a watered-down version of Judaism. Just go and study it. You see, this is their zeal. It's how zealots used to behave in Israel. Jewish zealots were just like these suicide bombers you see now. Judaism started all this aggression. Nobody today. That's why the Romans got angry and leveled Jerusalem. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. I began to suspect that somebody went to Israel, learned Judaism, and came down to spread it amongst the Arabs, and started calling himself a prophet. His father didn't know who the prophet was. He went to Israel to go and learn what prophets are. What am I saying? Built a whole religion on vision. And because it was about 300 years after Christianity had begun, and the proximity of that area to Christianity, I'm persuaded that these are visions that somebody built to challenge Christianity, claiming he's going after the true God. Are you getting my point? And Paul said, let him be accursed. But this is what I'm making to you. Listen. No matter the revelation you have, no matter the revelation anybody has, all right? We can't build doctrines or lives on them permanently. They are temporary. Let me give an example. Like those days when Bishop Peters and Winners in Lagos started many of the things that caused a lot of problems between him and Tunde Bakare at that time. You know, feet washing, what do you call it? Blood of sprinkling, all those things, about four or five of them. A lot of issues in Lagos. There are plenty of talk. People said, why? Is it in the Bible? I said, listen, there's what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations. As a bishop says that, I want to wash your feet. And the power of God will enter into your life. If you believe in a man, please, let him wash your feet. But it's not a doctrine. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's not a doctrine. It's what the Bible calls what? Diversities of manifestations. That's why they come with testimonies. The only thing that's a doctrine, Paul said it very clearly. All right, in fact, number one. No matter what that testimony is, if that thing even challenges any of the fundamentals of faith, forget it though. I don't care the kind of vision. Look, I told you I read a book. Person said, and Jesus appeared to me and said this. I said, listen, my brother or my sister, and my sister, write that one. I said, Jesus, I said, you want to see what I say to my children? I say all kinds of things to my children. Why? They are children. Today, you know what happened? Something happened today. I didn't know how to explain. My little daughter, that's about four, she was four, all right? And her younger brother, that's just over two, came to my study this afternoon. And I was burning a CD for the one we are giving to the radio people. So, you know, if you are burning, the computer mustn't shake. You know, you don't want it. So I said, okay, let's move on, let's move back. It's burning. Did you get the point? I was burning a CD. And I told a four-year-old, please move back, it's burning. And the guy looks at, Jesus Christ, I feel like, Daddy, what is burning? I didn't know how to explain that a CD is burning. A CD is burning. You and I know what it means to burn a CD. But as far as you're concerned, there's no fire. Where is it? Now, what am I saying? To explain that kind of thing to her, what do I do? I thought for a moment, I just dismissed it. I said, forget it, let's just go. A lot of things happen, and then you lower your tempo, let me use that example, that word, to explain something to a child. Do you follow? And then somebody hearing you going to quote it for adults, you say, this was what Pastor Banky said. You don't tell them that I was speaking to a child. Are you getting my point? And that's what happens a lot of times that causes confusion, all right, in the body of Christ. God helps a child to understand a basic thing about life. Then he builds a doctrine and expects adults to be following him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why we have so many denominations. That's why. Sometimes God brings out a revelation, which is just a piece of understanding to bring us out of a particular, maybe, rot that we're in, so that we'll come out of it. Then people settle down there. And like I told you, God does not speak English. He communicates. Let me give you this example. I hope it will help you. So God may say to a man, maybe a man is very broke. He doesn't have money, doesn't have anything. And the reason why he's that broke is because he doesn't have faith. And the manifestation of his faith, lack of faith, is that every two naira you give him, now only in the spender because he's broke. So God now says, look, stop depending on what you have. So one day he comes somewhere and says that, I have not had money for a long time. I say, what do you have in your pocket? He says, all I have is 200 naira. I say, take it and go and give us an offering. Then he takes the 200 naira, gives us an offering, then goes home to relax. Then after that, doors begin to open for him. Are you getting my point? Then he has now learned that generosity is a part of Christianity. A man hears that testimony, it builds a doctrine. If you want to come out of poverty, you will take the last money you have and you will say, man of God, right now. And we have, if you have not done it, if I, let me just, I know you have done it, but you can't be a Christian in this day and age. And then you find a few scriptures to support it too. But the problem is that you now build a doctrine. That's how you know when you know you are building a wrong doctrine. When you deliberately close your eyes to other scriptures so as to keep your doctrine standing, just know you are building a wrong doctrine. Even if you have scriptures to support it, once you deliberately close your eyes to other ones. Please, I hope you've learned something today. It looks like this thing, I said I'll finish it today. The thing just not one finish, but I'm ending it there. We can't finish teaching everything in one series. I mean, this is the third time, or fourth time that we're talking about the will of God. I talked about it on radio. I talked about it here. The second series I did when we came here, or third series, was on this matter. But we can't finish saying everything. But I hope you learned something in this one that I've said. I hope you've learned something. Let me summarize in just a few words. The word of God, the written word of God, that is the perfect will of God. And that's what we are gunning for. Are you getting my point? The understanding of it is what God is trying to infuse into our lives. And I'm saying that the voice of God is clear to us if our ears are open, by our hearts being tuned, all right, by being renewed in our minds with this word. After that, God can use any manifestation to bring us into his will. We don't build doctrines on those manifestations. That's why I give an example that somebody spontaneously spoke to me that Enugu would be a nice place to be. And I took that as a confirmation. And many people have spoken that I should go to other places and have rejected it totally. There is no doctrine now on hearing God by spontaneous speeches from people who have nothing else to say. Are you getting my point? As long as we focus on the word of God. And let me just add this on to it. You realize that the God, the voice of God you thought you heard last year suddenly becomes inferior to what you can hear this year. I don't know whether you understand. You start making progress. There are things God spoke this to me 10 years ago. This year you look back. Were it not that you were here to hear this teaching, you would have wondered, did God really speak to me 10 years ago? But now you know he did. But that's because that was all I could hear. 10 years after, I have grown. Now God can speak deeper things. In fact, what he said then, I only heard a fragment of it. It is now I'm hearing them deeper. And that's how your life is, and that's how my life is. The Pastor Banky of today, according to doing what God says he should do, is only doing that which he can understand and which he's able to do. God said greater things than that which I have heard. And that's why David said, once he has spoken, but twice I have heard it. It's not because God is just repeating himself anyhow. But the first time he spoke, the word didn't return to him void because he had not yet accomplished. Only half of it did David hear. So the word kept on circulating. Then David was ready for the second half. Then that word came again. So God spoke once, he heard it twice. And as a matter of fact, God will speak once. Some of us will hear it 15 times. The one that brought you here is round one. That word is still floating. It will take you from here and take you somewhere else tomorrow. That's round two. Then in about 25 years' time, you will finally come to the full understanding of what God said to you 25 years ago. Do you understand my point? It's that same word, but just seems to be metamorphosing. What's the proper one? Should I say it right? Anyways, it's just changing from one level onto another as you are growing in the realm of the spirit. I hope you learned something today. I hope you've learned something.